Thank you so much for being here today for our period of worship. We have a very special worship period this morning. As you see on your worship bulletin, the elders will be designating 14 additional deacons at the close of our lesson today. And so we want to pay attention especially to what the Word of God says on that subject. You will find that the reading that Will read a few moments ago is basically the only New Testament teaching that we have on the subject of deacons. We do have, though, an early example in the Jerusalem church of those who were not called deacons, but men who were set aside by the apostles for a very special work. You might recall that 12 men, the apostles, full of the Holy Spirit, endowed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, were given the opportunity to lead the Jerusalem congregation. And yet by this time, we get to Acts chapter 6, there are 5,000 people at least who have been baptized into Jesus. Can you imagine 12 men, even with the gifts of Almighty God, trying to administrate everything among 5,000 people who've come to believe in the Lord Jesus? So there's a complaint that is brought to the apostles from some Grecian widows, that is, Jewish ladies who were from Greek-speaking nations, who were being neglected or ignored in the daily distribution of meals, supplies, whatever their needs might be. Let's look, Brian, at that particular slide. An early example of men of good reputation, men full of the Spirit, and men full of wisdom. When this complaint was brought to the apostles, the apostles recognized that with everything that they had to do, they were not in a position to take care of all of these. This is the first record of a practical problem we have in the Lord's church. And so they said, choose 7 men. You might recall that 2 of those were Stephen and then Philip the evangelist, the one responsible for leading the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in chapter 8. The 7 men who would be responsible for setting up a program and administering to the needs of those who were widows from Greek-speaking nations in the Jerusalem church. Well, here are some qualities that's a good beginning list of the kind of men that not only serve as elders in the Lord's church, but that also serve as deacons. Men of good reputation, which of course means that they were men of Christ-like character. Reputation is what people think, but character is what people know that you are. And this is one of the things Paul emphasizes in the text that has been read about being proven over a period of time. Men full of the Spirit, men who not only had the gift of the Holy Spirit, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, but men who were spirit-minded or heaven-minded, men who were spiritual, who were not concerned more about the material things of life than they were the spiritual things of life. And then men full of wisdom, in other words, wise in the common sense knowledge of what needs to be done and what is the best way of taking care of this particular problem of administering daily. The Jewish people had a very wonderful record. With all of their record of disobedience to God in the Old Testament, they had a wonderful record of taking care of their own. And so here is a plan that is initiated even in the Jerusalem church from the very beginning that, yes, they're not called deacons, but they are set apart by the apostles. At this particular point in time, we didn't have elders either. So the apostles served that role. These 7 men seem to serve the role of specially appointed servants under the direction of the apostles. Now, as congregations are then planted throughout the Roman Empire, and as elders are appointed in every congregation according to Acts 13, obviously by the time you get to 1 Timothy 3, and Paul provides this one paragraph about qualifications and responsibility and the service that is to be rendered by these men. In the New Testament, the word deacon is another word for servant. But obviously there's a special designation here. They are appointed by elders. They are given assigned tasks by elders. That's so wise in terms of getting the work done. The elders cannot do every little task that must be given. So we look then at the idea of a deacon's work. Again, assignments were given, special assignments. In this case, from the Jerusalem church, the taking care of widows that were being neglected. Later in the New Testament church, obviously, just like the church today, so many programs that need to be developed, so many programs that need to be carried out, and there need to be people of special quality and of qualification that are doing so. They were specifically chosen, perhaps because of temperament, because of faith, obviously, and obedience, but also because of skill for what they were being asked to do. And then, as now, these selections were not supposed to be based upon popularity. They were not selections that were supposed to be based to encourage someone to be faithful to the Lord, but rather those who were faithful to the Lord and those who had a way of serving in a way pleasing to the Lord, who had proven their ability to assist the elders in everything or in what needed to be done that the elders gave them. Now, very quickly, the heart of the passage in 1 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 8, is a list of positive qualifications as well as a few negative qualifications. And so let's look at that list very quickly. Once again, very similar to the early example of Acts 6 in verse 3, Paul writing a number of years, even decades later, to the young man Timothy, says that these must be men of dignity. Now, some translations use the word dignity. Some translations use the word reverence. The idea is certainly there that they are men who are reverent before God as well as people, but unquestioned character and integrity are qualifications that go into this role. Prior to this passage, in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, Paul's given a list of qualifications for elders. You'll see some overlapping there. And so, generally speaking, those who served as deacons may very well have been chosen younger or an earlier time in their lives and may very well be in the process of being prepared to serve later on in the role of elder. That doesn't always happen, but it is certainly a good proving ground for men who do. He also says that they're to hold to the faith with a clear conscience. There is no question in their heart and their mind that they have been obedient to the simplicity of the gospel message, and they're holding on to it. The gospel is the foundation of their life. It is the foundation of their membership in the church. It is the foundation of the service that they're ready to render to the congregation as well as to the community. They've also been put to the test. They've proven over a period of time, even when they were not designated as a specially appointed servant, they have been serving. They have been working. And I think that's the case that you will find in the men presented to you today, that they have been men who have been active and they've been proven over the course of time to be servants. Paul also mentions about being blameless or beyond reproach, which means that there is no serious or obvious flaw that would cause someone to object to their serving in this role. Obviously, the husband of one wife, and then good managers of their children and their household. Then in this text, he also mentions some negative qualifications. These men must not be men who are double-tongued, which refers to the fact, okay, someone who is double-tongued is someone who said, okay, he might say this to this particular person or to this particular audience, but when you go over here to another person or to another audience, the message may be completely different. It may be completely changed. None of that among the elders of the Lord's church, and none of that among the ministers of the Lord's church, and none of that among the deacons of the Lord's church, and we pray of any member of the Lord's church. We are a people who have received the gospel in its purity and simplicity, and there is no compromising there. There is no watering down of the gospel. There is no changing it for the convenience of someone that you might be trying to please. It is what it is. And by it, we are to live and to die, and one day we'll be judged. consistent in their speech and in life. This next expression deserves an entire lesson. The idea is not given to much wine does not authorize something that today in the church we call, or in community life called, social drinking. In the first century, there were common wines that could be fermented or unfermented. And so a deacon was someone who was to be careful about what he allowed his body to consume. Wines were often diluted so that there would not be the problem of intoxication. But the basic idea is an expression that says someone who is disciplined in their life, someone who is under control of their life. And then the final one, they're not fond of sordid gain or greedy in terms of money and material possessions. Well, here again is something that says, yes, we must make a living, we must provide, we must take care of those for whom we're responsible, but overseeing all of that is our relation heavenward to our Heavenly Father. God gives us the blessings for what we need in life, and we're to use the blessings that He gives not only for what we need to be shared with those that are in need. So deacons, again, were to meet these particular qualifications. Money is not their God. God, the Father, is their God. And so when men allow themselves to be put to a public test like this, whether it be in the role of an elder, whether it be in the role of a deacon, those who fill our Bible classes, they're opening their lives for people to observe and to see what there is that they're about, of what they are made, but in particular, how faithful are they to the faith? How faithful are they to the work that God has really given all of us to do? But again, servants with a special designation from the elders and a special assignment in terms of work that the elders are going to oversee, but that the deacons are going to be responsible for carrying out. Now, that leads then to Paul's last observation in the paragraph concerning their reward. And you know, the idea of becoming a child of God really should be all about God rather than about ourselves, shouldn't it? I'm afraid too many times that we're so concerned about the matter of sin, as we should be, and the matter of our sins being washed away, as we should be, and living in a faithful relationship with the Lord as we should be. One reason that worship is worship, and one reason that we come together on the first day of the week, is the focus is upon the God we love and the God that we serve. And as a result of being a part of that, being a child of God, a member of the family of God, we're going to receive all kinds of blessings. And so when one becomes a member of the Lord's church, worship is so important, so urgent, so critical, faithfully so. But also is the work of the church. And one of the things that we do is to try to find where it is that we can serve as well as worship. And when we do that, and even when we're given a special assignment, as these men today will be, there are going to be rewards that eventually work out about that. After a period of time, and over a period of time, if they're faithful, Paul says, those who serve well. That would imply that it's possible for some not to serve well. In fact, that would be the history of any organization, would it not? There are those who serve well, and then there are those who do not. And so those who prove themselves by serving well can anticipate a reward of a good standing or of a high standing in terms of reputation and character and recognition of jobs well done. The Lord Himself taught that those who are faithful in small things will prove to be faithful in large things or in greater things. Those who are unfaithful in small things will prove to be unfaithful in larger things. And then the ultimate reward is they will have great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. in these jobs that will be performed in behalf of the Lord and of the Lord's church in the expansion of the church in Henderson, as well as the expansion of the kingdom of God that surrounds the world, there will be times of stress and there will be times of discouragement. Just ask an elder about that problem of discouragement, that problem of challenge. Just ask deacons who sometimes can not only be discouraged but can also be frustrated because of things that desperately need to be done, but for whatever reason they're not being done at the present time. Here is a matter that needs to be understood, that if we are faithful to our task, whether we're in this role or we're regular members of the Lord's church doing our very best to serve Him and to live faithfully according to His will, we're going to be people who have great confidence in our faith. Confidence not only in the fact that the Lord is coming, but we're not worried about that. We're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to the great reunion that we're going to have with those who've gone before us, with those that we've read about in Scripture, with those that have filled our lives and surrounded us with their faith and their faithfulness. We are confident in the salvation that we have been given as a result of the Lord shedding His blood upon the cross and taking advantage of that by being buried with Him in the waters of baptism, having repented of our sins and confessed our faith that He indeed is the Christ, the Son of the living God. May that be true of all of us. Paul gives special significance as men are being selected to serve in the first part of the chapter in the role of elders, in the second paragraph in the role of deacons, and in between there is a verse even in reference to those who are the wives of deacons, that they too are to be faithful in all things. We commend those today that are being added to a long list of servants being given special, not necessarily recognition, but special jobs to do, specific jobs to do. And let's pray for them. Let's support them. Let's commend them. Let's be proud of them. But when they in their respective roles call upon us to help them carry out their assignments, let's be ready to do that also. Again, we are worshipers and we are workers in the kingdom of God. Yes, in view of loving God and wanting to please Him, but also recognizing He will bless us with reward beyond our imagination. Today, as we sing to encourage anyone who needs to come to the Lord to be baptized into Him or to have prayer in your behalf, we do so as we prepare for the installation of these men for this service. But before we do that, we're going to sing together to encourage anyone that needs to respond as the Lord Himself invites you to respond to Him and to His will for your life and for your soul as we stand and sing together.